tell you what, it's a beautiful day to be out in God's house, is it not? I mean, it's a little cool out there, but you know what? We can praise God and be thankful that we have the opportunity to be in His house this morning. I'm going to be over to Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 11. I've preached from this, probably this verse, numerous times. God has impressed it upon me, though, this morning to, you know, this is my Thanksgiving sermon for you this morning. You know, I usually don't, you know me, I usually don't pick holidays and try to do it, but you know, God impressed it upon me. And I'm going to preach from Philippians 4:11, very familiar scripture. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And I'm going to read it again. Boy, isn't that beautiful scripture. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Boy, that's scripture to live by. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come, Lord, again, Lord, thanking You and praising You for another year, Lord. Another opportunity, Lord, that we have to stand before You. Another week, another day, Lord. And I ask You, Father, to be with the congregation here this morning. I pray, Father, that our hearts would all be opened up, Lord. I pray, Father, that Your word would go out just exactly the way that You'd want it to. I pray, Father, that You'd remove anything out of our lives, out of our hearts this morning, that would not let the Word get to where it needs to be. In Jesus' name we pray and ask, and amen. I heard Tim Bell preach a little bit. He came across this Wednesday night whenever he was here. And he was talking about Paul and Silas. He was here that night. He was here Wednesday night. You heard him talk about it a little bit. And how that they were beaten, and how that they were thrown into the innermost parts of the jail. We all know the story, do we not? Over in Acts 16:25, it tells us this. He said, "And at the midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." And guess what happened after that? Here they were. They were beaten. They were thrown in jail into the innermost parts of the prison. But you know what? They were not willing to let their circumstances dictate to them how that they praised God, how that they thought about God. They weren't going to let that happen. And other people seen what was going on, and these two men, they seen what they had. And guess what? Guess what happened after that? I'll just go ahead and read down through their third. And it brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And guess what? "And thy house." Isn't that amazing? "And they spake unto him the words of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized. And he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." Because those two men were not going to let those circumstances dictate to them. There were people that got saved. People got saved. No matter what we think about what's going on in our lives right now, and I know in this church right now, I know that there are people in this church right now who are going through many things in their lives. I've heard it, and I don't even have to hear it. I feel it within my spirit. But what an amazing piece of scripture, because Paul and Silas learned that whatsoever state they found themselves in, they could be content.
Amen.
They could be thankful. And they could praise God with everything that they had in them, no matter what was going on in their life. Can you say amen to that this morning? That's hard scripture. There's no doubt in my mind. That's hard preaching. I know that. And as Thanksgiving season approaches upon you and I, you know what? The lessons and the principles that apply in this scripture that I'm preaching to you this morning, that I'm teaching to you this morning, applies just as much to you and I as it did to Paul and Silas back then. Because you know why? Because I'll tell you right now why. Because praise God, you are a child of the living God.
Amen. Amen.
So you mean, preacher, no matter what's going on in my life, I should be praising God? I should be thanking God? I should be content? "I should" is the operative word here. Do you understand that? That's operative. I'm telling you this. I'm not saying that you should. What I'm telling you this morning is that you can. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I'm telling you this morning, you know what I'm telling that you should? I'm telling you, if you want it, you can rejoice in your circumstances. You can be content. No matter what the circumstances are in your life right now, the Bible proves that out. The Bible proves it out through much prayer, through burying our noses in God's Word, and through being around God's people as much as we possibly can. You and I can be happy, we can be content, we can be praising God, and we can be worshiping God right through our circumstances. Even if it means it takes us to heaven at the end of it. Amen? Especially with so much heartache and pain that's going on in this world today. You know what? You know, I look around, you're saying, preacher, we can be happy and content. Yes. Yes, I am telling you that you can be happy and content no matter what's going on in this world, no matter what's going on in your little world. Paul and Silas proved it over again in Philippians 4:1. Paul makes this statement again. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, and I'll say it again, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. First and foremost, we should be happy. We should be praising God, and we should be content because why? Because we are saved this morning. We are saved because Jesus told us this over in Luke 10:20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. Do you get that? Rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because why? Your names are written in heaven. We have that right there. We can rejoice. We can be thankful. We can sit down at our Thanksgiving dinner no matter what's happened to you this past year. If you are a child of the living God, you can be happy. You can be rejoicing. You can be thankful because you are saved and your name is written in heaven. Jesus told us that. That's in His Word. That's not Dave Long preaching to you out my thoughts. That's what the Bible says. If you and I lost everything tomorrow, listen to me, if you and I lost everything tomorrow and we are still saved, we can still be able to rejoice. That's hard. Think about that for a minute. But is that not the truth? Is that not the absolute Bible truth? What? It would be heart-wrenching in a physical sense to lose everything that you have around you. It would be heart-wrenching. But I'm telling you, but would you agree with me? The greatest thing that ever happened to Dave Long, Sarah, was the day that Jesus saved me. The greatest thing. I'm married to a wonderful woman. I had a wonderful family. But praise God, nothing compares to the day, that night that Jesus Christ came into my heart. Nothing. Nothing. I know it holds true in my life. You know what? I know it holds true in my life. And I know it can hold true in yours also. No matter what's going on, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, you still have a home in heaven this morning, Jason. We got that. No matter if God decides to let everything fall apart around us, we've got a place to go. God is still God. Jesus is still Lord of Lords and King of Kings. No matter what's going on, praise God. So when something happens, what you and I don't understand, we have a decision to make right then. Are you going to let a setback or a tragedy steal the blessings of God from you? I don't want that. I don't want that this morning. I don't want the circumstances that's surrounding me to steal what God has given me in my heart this morning. Or are we going to stand firm and declare God is God no matter what? Amen. He is God no matter what. You know, praise God. Tony sings a song, let God be God in the little times. Let God be God in the little times, and He'll be God in the big times. If we let Him, if we're willing to let Him do that this morning, God will be God. You see, I've seen this principle work in people's lives. I've seen it work. I'm going to talk to you a little bit. They're two of the best Christian people that I've ever known in my life. were my mother-in-law, my father-in-law. I've seen this principle work. I've watched their lives since 1976. I've watched the principle being content with whatever state you're in work in their lives. You don't think it didn't have an effect on me? You know what? I can't stand up here this morning and preach to you about this if I have not seen it work in people's lives and if it has not worked in my life. And I know there's people in this church that you've seen it work in people's lives also. I've seen them praise and worship God through the good times, and I've seen them praise and worship God through the bad times. You may be facing hard times here this morning, and I want to get this across. I want to reiterate this. You may be facing hard times this morning. You know what? Your family right now, today you can hardly make ends meet, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But I'm telling you what, I'm preaching to you this morning because somebody here needs to hear it. You don't feel much like praising God in your life. Maybe you don't feel like praising Him this morning. Maybe you're saying, preacher, that's a bunch of bunk. Well, I want you to understand, don't feel much like going to church. Let me tell you something about Ed and Edith McDonald. They had 9 children. They lost one at birth. They ended up having 8. They had 3 at one time. They had triplets. Hardly, they weren't rich people by no means. They could barely make ends meet. When they asked at the newspaper, I remember this because I got the newspaper article. They asked Ed. They said, Ed, how are you guys going to make it? The newspaper coming after them because they knew they weren't rich people. Ed was just a quiet, unassuming man. But he said this. He said, God would help them. God would help them. And he always did. They raised their family in a little apartment on South Parkersburg. And some of you have been there. It probably barely was 1,000 square feet. Maybe 900 and some square feet apartment. 1 bathroom. 8 kids and 2 adults lived in that apartment. Oh yeah. It was not mansion by no means, but you know what? They had a place to sleep. They had food. They had everything that God intended them to have. And you know what else? You know what? The whole time that I knew Ed and Edith, I never once heard them complain about the times that they lived in that little apartment with 8 kids. Never once. They were thankful for what they had. I want to ask you this morning, are you thankful for what you got this morning? I don't care what it is. I don't care if you're living in a shack somewhere that you consider a shack. Be thankful for what God has given you this morning. They eventually bought the house in front of them. They did. They eventually bought that. I'm going to tell you something else too. They were thankful for God and their church. They were thankful for that little church. They never missed unless they were really sick. That meant the kids also. None of this letting the kids decide whether they should go to church or not. That was not the way Ed and Edith worked it. They went to church. They made their kids go to church. I'll tell you something else too. You see, Edith didn't drive. Ed worked a lot of nights. It never stopped her from taking those kids to church. You could go up there at that time and you would see she'd have all of them dressed and she would be walking them to church. Up Broadway Avenue to church, and that wasn't just close right up the street. It was probably from here up into the store from where they lived. And you know what? She had a built-in excuse. She could have said, there's just too many kids to get ready. It's just not worth it. She never once did that. You know why? Because they were thankful for what God did for them. She wouldn't complain. I never heard that woman complain, other than maybe her back or something hurting her. Said, woe is me. She would go to church and testify of God's goodness all the time. Because no matter what the situation, and I'm not here preaching about how good they are. I'm telling you how God worked in their lives and how that impressed me so much. And I want to tell you that this morning. Circumstances were not going to dictate to them how they served God. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Do not let circumstances dictate to you this morning how to praise, how that you worship the God that you serve. Amen. We're all going to face stuff in our lives. I'm just here to tell you. If you go through this life without something coming on in your life or in your family's life, you are one blessed individual. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to face things in your life. And you know what? That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where we're going to tell whether you're serving God for the right reasons or whether you're just serving for the good times. Because I'm telling you this morning, the bad times are coming. And that's when we need to praise and worship God the most. Circumstances were not going to dictate them. She didn't do it for a show. My mother-in-law never did anything for a show. She did it because she loved Jesus, and I know it. I know it. She wanted her kids to love Jesus also. She wanted so much for her kids to love Jesus. I remember she would pray, and every time one of them would come in the house, if one of them didn't go to church, she was constantly on them about, you need to be back in church. You need Jesus in your heart. All the time. I heard it all the time. Praise God for that. Ed was a quiet man. But when the Spirit of God would move upon him, the tears would flow, and he would stand and testify. And he wouldn't do it all the time, but brothers, whenever he did it, you could feel the Spirit of God move. And I'll tell you what, that right there, he was thankful. And I'm telling you, no matter what the situation was, he loved his church, but more importantly, you know what? He loved Jesus. And I want to ask you this morning, do you love Jesus Christ this morning? Do you love him? Whenever he was working, whenever he wasn't working, he was in church. That's where he was at. Brothers and sisters, there's no excuses. There's none. And I'm just going to be quite blunt with you this morning. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you love Him with all your heart, you want to be around Him as much as possible. You want to be around His people as much as possible. Life always wasn't a bed of roses for them, I'm going to tell you right now. They had to deal with the death of an infant child. They had to deal with four children that went through divorces in their family. And I want to tell you something, it broke both their hearts immensely. It broke their hearts because they had to face it. Because you know what? I watched them deal with that, and I watched them deal with it with grace. I watched them deal with it, and you know what? And guess what? You know what? They never complained. They never gave up on God. They still served Him because they knew God and serving Him and Jesus Christ in their heart was more important than no matter what they had to face. Tell you what, I can remember also, they had a great grandchild that was born with cerebral palsy. And the pain and the agony that their daughter and that their granddaughter were going through because of that. And you know what? Some people get discouraged and stuff like that, and they start questioning God. They never questioned God about that. They loved that child just as much as they would love any other healthy child. I remember whenever my son went through what he did. I'm not bragging on him. I want you to understand. I'm just trying to show you that no matter what circumstances you are in this morning, I don't know where you're at here today, that you can still love and praise and worship God and still be faithful to Him. And I'll tell you what, they were the Christian anchors that showed us to continue to serve God, no matter what was going on in my life. And I've told you the heartache I had whenever my son went through both open heart surgeries. And I'll tell you what, I was that close to quitting. Because you know why? I was discouraged. You may be here this morning the same way. Maybe you're discouraged here this morning because what's going on in your life, I'm telling you, it's not worth giving up on. It's worth hanging in there for, because at the end of the day, that's where the victory comes. Even as their own health started to deteriorate, I never heard them ever once question God. Never. Ed going through cancer, and Edith is still in a nursing home because of Alzheimer's. Both of them like that. I've never heard them ever question. And even to this day, Edith will sit there and she can remember about the Bible and talks about that. Let me tell you, don't think for a minute it does not have an effect on you. I'm here this morning to tell you I know that this principle works in Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Romans 10:11, for there is no respect of persons with God. God is able and willing to do the same thing for everybody here this morning that He did for Paul and Silas, and that He did for Ed and Nita McDonald, and for everybody else that you know. God is able and He is willing. Praise God this morning. You can praise God in the storms. I'm telling you, you can do it. I've seen it happen. I've seen people do it. You can love and worship Him no matter what you are going through this morning. I know that you can. And the only reason I know it is because God has said that you can, and God will be with you through it. As you sit down to your Thanksgiving meal, remember, you can truly be thankful no matter what has happened to you down through this year. Amen? You can still be truly thankful. You're saved. And really think about that. Really think about that for a moment. I know you get tired of hearing me say that, but on that October when I got saved, I am truly thankful this morning for that night. I will truly be thankful for that night the rest of my life, Jill.
Amen.
I will be thankful for that. I know I fail. I know I stumble, and all of you will too. But praise God, we can pull ourselves back up by the grace of God and through His Son, Jesus Christ. We can do that. And we can go on. And we can be what God wants us to be. But I'm telling you here this morning, no matter what you're going on, you can still praise God. When you sit down to your Thanksgiving meal, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's going on around you, praise Him for just simply being saved.
Amen.
Praise Him for just simply taking the sin out of your life and you being able to go to heaven one of these days. You know what? Should that not be enough? Should that not be enough to be thankful for? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. What? Concerning you. Concerning you. Raise your hands. You're you. You're you. Give thanks in everything this morning. Praise God. I hope you have a blessed Thanksgiving. I do. I hope when you sit down at your Thanksgiving meal, there's plenty of food. I pray that your health is good. I pray that everything's just right in your life. But you know what? The truth of the matter is that probably that won't be the way. That probably won't be what happens. But praise God, you can still be thankful. And that's what I want for you today, to be thankful no matter what. As they come, get a song.